As we have the Word of God open before us, let me say some things by way of introduction. This is a time when people are expressing a lot of concern about the future. There's quite a bit of fear, as you know, in many hearts in regard to various things. There's uncertainty in relation to the economy. We have heard, all of us, about companies going bankrupt, about small businesses struggling to survive, and jobs being lost, etc., etc. And all of that is causing anxiety to individual families about their own economic welfare. But as well as the financial concerns that many have, there is the obvious and very real worry that folks have regarding their overall health, their own health, and that of their loved ones and friends. This unexpected outbreak of a pandemic, the coronavirus, and its very rapid spread has caused tremendous anxiety and genuine concern in many hearts. Think of it. Something simple, like going to a grocery store or walking among people in the mall or in some other public place, now creates a feeling of uneasiness, even fear, with many, where before it never caused a moment's thought or hesitation. But this is the new reality of living in the world of the Wuhan virus. Many are now having to deal with the issue of anxious care. And that brings me to Matthew chapter 6. Because this is a subject that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about in his great Sermon on the Mount. Anxious care. You will notice in the portion that we read, and particularly in verses 25, 31 and 34, that these words are used. Take no thought. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, then there are the words that follow. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Those words, take no thought, simply mean do not worry. That word thought is also found, by the way, in verse 27, where it speaks of taking thought. Verse 28, why take ye thought? And at the end of verse 34, or the middle of verse 34, where it says, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. It is referring literally to worry or being anxious. And I wonder this morning, is there one, or might there even be several or many, who are watching on with us, and you're worried. You're full of anxiety. You are concerned about what the future might bring. Well, let me say to you that here is a word for you from the Lord. Because the truth is that even Christians can become burdened down with anxious care. We know this, some of us more than others. We can begin to fret and to worry about the future. Some of us are what my wife likes to call worry warts. We have that penchant for worrying. We have that tendency to be anxious. But folks, let me say to you today, it is not the will of God that his people be affected by such a spirit. When our Lord Jesus tells us to take no thought, he means do not worry. Be not filled with anxious care. That's really the thought that's brought before us by the word thought. It has to do with anxious care. It has to do with worry. It's potentially a very real problem, even at this particular time. So let us note what the Lord says about the problem of worry. He teaches us at least three things in this portion concerning the matter of anxious care or worry. Let us think first of all about the focus of anxious care. The focus of our worry. As we've read in verse 25, in verse 28, and in verse 31, the Lord is speaking about natural things, about mundane things even. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, and your body, what you shall put on. Again, the Lord says, why take ye thought for raiment or clothing? And in verse 31, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? These are all perfectly natural things. The things that are in view here are all to do with this life and with the affairs of this world. And those matters that tend to occupy our minds and thoughts are temporal. They are the things of time and sense. And so what the Lord is speaking about here, really in a sense, is worldliness. It is a word about worldliness, becoming over careful or over anxious about those things that pertain to our earthly comforts. That's what's in view here. Now think about those cares that are in your mind at present. What are they? Are they matters of the soul? Are they matters that concern time merely or eternity? You see, really this begins earlier in the chapter. It's a continuous theme. The reason I know that is that in verse 25, the Lord begins with the word therefore. And my pastor used to always say to us in church, when you see the word therefore in the Bible, you should ask yourself, what is it there for? It has to do with what came before. So what is it that came before? Well, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The Lord is speaking here about where your mind or where your heart or your soul is. Is it on heavenly things, or is it on the things of earth? That's the question. And this is the context of verse 25 to the end of the chapter. Notice the focus of anxious care. It is upon the issue of appetite, food and drink. Now those have become very important during the lockdown, haven't they? And people are wondering, what are we going to have for dinner tonight? It used to be that you would say, I would say to my wife, dear, why don't we just go out for a meal this evening? You don't have to cook. And she's always very happy to agree to that. But that's not the case right now. Of course, we could go carry something out, but you know, you have to think about whether that's a good thing at the moment or not. And those are decisions that people can make for themselves. But we're all thinking about food and drink. And hopefully you, like me, are enjoying some really wonderful meals that you'd never, ever heard of before, because people are consulting cookery books and all sorts of things online, and they're coming up with some weird and wonderful things. Now, in my wife's case, they're not weird, they're wonderful, because she's a great cook. And I have to say that because she's about 3 yards from me here, and I'm in great danger if I don't say that. The issue of appetite. Now, think about this. I hear lots of people talking about all the food they're consuming at present under the lockdown, and some of us are definitely not flattening any curves, that's for sure. But listen, while we maybe could do with curbing our bodily appetites, obviously when the Lord says here in verse 25, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, he's not saying that you shouldn't ever think about your food. That's not what the Lord is talking about. He's not saying that meal planning is wrong. Because frankly, food and drink are essential to life. There is another scripture, and we used this when we spoke about contentment last week, where it says, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So we need food, we need clothing. These things are essential to our lives. We have to eat and we have to drink. But what the Lord is talking about here, when he refers to the issue of appetite, what you shall eat and what you shall drink, is over anxiety or worry about the supply of these provisions that the Lord is rebuking here. That's what he's talking about. The issue of appetite. And then there's the issue of apparel. That's the focus of many. Someone showed me something one day recently. They sent it to me. And it said it was the new clothing line for Easter dresses for women. And it was just a line of house coats. A lot of humor going about at the minute. But look at this, what the Lord says. Your body, what ye shall put on, verse 25. The issue of apparel, raiment, as he calls it in verse 28. Your clothing. Food and clothing cost money, don't they? And perhaps there's the thought with some, well, where will I get the money to pay this or that bill? How will we manage? The Lord says, take no thought. Again, the word literally means anxious concern or worry. In Philippians 4, verse 6, this word is used by the apostle when he's telling God's people, be careful for nothing. That's the word. It means be over anxious or filled with worry for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. There's another instance of the word being used by the apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. There the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care. The word care, there is this word that the Lord is using in Matthew chapter 6. Jemison, Fawcett and Brown, great commentators, they say that this word for anxious care is that anxious solicitude, that oppressive care which springs from unbelieving doubts and misgivings. It must be recognized that we are to live on the earth. So we're not to be a careless or thoughtless people. Christians ought to work to provide food and clothing for their families. This is taught in the Word of God. Some people have mistakenly said that work didn't start until after the fall. That is not true. Because before the fall of man, Adam was tending to the garden. He was a husbandman or a gardener. But we know that after the fall, the Lord said in Genesis 3 verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. And that's a biblical principle. You find it in the writings of Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and from verse 10. The man of God writes this. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. And once more, Paul writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, spoke to this. But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So we are to work, and neither are we to waste. We're not to be wasters. We're not to be spendthrifts who are careless about our finances. When the Lord says take no thought for these things, he doesn't mean that you should just fritter away your money without taking responsibility. No. But what the Lord is saying is that we're not to allow these things of the body to distract us. Because believers are pilgrims and strangers on the earth. This earth, this world is not our home. We're not here to stay. And the Lord is teaching us as his people not to be filled with anxiety and worry, even if and when we're placed in hard circumstances. These earthly things must not be our focus. Again, look at verses 31 and 32 of Matthew 6. Therefore take no thought, you know the word is worry or anxious care, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's a mark of worldliness. And then he says this, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And we'll come back to that. But there's the issue as well, not only of appetites and of apparel, but there's the issue of appointments. Verse 34, therefore take no thought, anxious care, worry, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. There's the issue of appointments, things that lie in the future. The Christian is not to live his life in advance. Now we always say that, don't we, to the unsaved. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You should not be thinking about tomorrow, because you may never reach tomorrow. And the gospel is to be received today. Today, while you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. But the Christian is not to live his life in advance. He is to be content to live one day at a time. And it says here, really, do not worry about the morrow. Matthew Henry commented on this portion. Be not anxious for the future. How you shall live next year, or when you are old, or what you shall leave behind you. As we must not boast of tomorrow, so we must not care for tomorrow or the events of it. The issue of appointments. Living in anxiety, living in anxious care or worry about these things is not the will of God. But as well as speaking here about the focus of anxious care, the Lord Jesus is showing us the futility of anxious care. The futility of anxious care. It is, friends, both foolish and fruitless to be living in constant worry about the future. There's a lot of people doing that right now, and I can tell that by some of the things that they post on Facebook. Now the Lord first mentions here the fact. There's the fact. Verse 25, at the end of the verse, is not the life more than meat or food? That's what the word meat here signifies. It's a word for food generally. Is not the life more than meat or food, and the body than raiment or clothing? The most important thing is life, isn't it? Albert Barnes said, God has given life, a far greater blessing than meat. That he has created the body is of far more consequence than raiment. Shall not he who has formed the body so curiously and made in its formation such a display of power and goodness see that it is properly protected and clothed? The life is more than meat and more than clothing. And our lives are in his hand. Our times are in his hand. And he will provide all of the rest that we need. So there's the fact here that life is most important. But then in verse 26, he mentions the fowls. Behold the fowls of the air. You can just imagine the Lord with his disciples. There he is on the mountain, and there are a bunch of birds that fly over, and the Lord looks at those birds and he says, look, behold the fowls of the air. Look at them. Look at all these birds. Are you not much better than they? But notice them, the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? See, the Lord is illustrating the point here. He's referring to the birds of the air, and he says to his disciples, are you not much better than they are? Man, indeed, is a higher creation than the animals. But yet God feeds the lesser creation. And if he feeds the lesser creation, will he not feed you? The birds of the air don't fret over food. The Lord provides. My mother had a lovely little plaque that hung in her kitchen for years. Here's what it said. It had an illustration on it, a painting on it as well, of a couple of birds. But here's what it said. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Behold, the fowls of the air. If you were to turn over a few pages to Matthew chapter 10, from verse 29, the Lord says to his people, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall in the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. What good will worrying about future provision do? Notice what the Lord said about this in verse 27 of Matthew 6. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? You may be 5'2" and you can think all you like all day long every day. I would love to be 6 feet tall, and it's never going to happen. In fact, you're not even going to get to 5'3". By taking thought, you're not going to be able to add to your stature. The fact is, what the Lord is saying here is that there are some things that you can't change. And oh, I wish that a lot of God's people right now at this time would concentrate on that. There's a lot of things happening in this world you cannot change, and neither can I. You can gripe about it, you can moan about it, you can post about it. You can't change it. It's out of your control. Just like your height. The futility of worrying, however, was also shown by the Lord by referring to the flowers. From verse 28. And why take ye thought? Remember, it's anxious care. It's worry. Why are you worried about raiment? About clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. There's a beautiful song that my late mother-in-law used to love to sing. Consider the lilies. And it's based upon the scripture. Consider the lilies of the field. Look at them. How they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Even Solomon the king was not as beautifully clothed as the lilies of the field. The flowers. Those beautiful wild lilies there where our Lord was ministering didn't have to do anything, and yet they grew and were glorious. They had more glory even than King Solomon. They are so arrayed without working. And so the Lord can meet the needs of those who can work to buy clothes. Remember, friends, that living in anxious care changes nothing. To worry about the problems of tomorrow only serves to double the problems of today. Consider the words of Mark chapter 16. This is a beautiful incident. At the time of our Lord's resurrection, Mark chapter 16, the Bible tells us about some women who came to the tomb when the Sabbath was passed. Mark 16 verse 1, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene Aunt Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" In their minds there was a great problem. They were not going to be able to reach the body of the Lord because there was a huge stone that had been sealed that was across the mouth of the grave, across the mouth of the sepulchre. And there they are talking, these three women, about the fact that they realized they would not have the physical strength to roll that stone away. And so they're thinking, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" But look at the next verse. "And when they looked," verse 4 says, "they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great." What does this tell us? Well, it tells us that these are ladies who were filled with worry about a future problem, but it was a problem that never arose. A problem that never actually came to pass. And I believe that the Lord, when he says that we're not to be taking thought for the morrow, has this in mind. It is futile to worry, to be anxiously careful about tomorrow. For the fact of the matter is that you may not even be here on the morrow. And anyway, the problems of tomorrow will take care of themselves when we reach tomorrow. And so we have the futility of anxious care, as well as the focus of anxious care. But then there is what I would call the fixing of anxious care. How worry can be fixed. Back in the Second World War, there were various songs that were sung by troops in Britain. They had their own repertoire of songs. I know they had some here in America and among American soldiers and servicemen who were in Europe. They had their own repertoire of songs, the K songs and K Sarah, Sarah, and so on. The British soldiers used to sing, "It's a Long Way to Piccadilly." And they used to sing this all the time as they would be marching along in time. "Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile." But that's just a song. And wouldn't it be ever so nice if we could pack up our troubles in a kit bag and just smile, smile, smile? But there are times when we literally feel that we cannot do that. There are a lot of folks who suffer in this world from depression. A lot of it is physiological. A lot of it is, it has to do with the chemical imbalance that there can be in a person's body. It's very much a malady like any other malady that people have. And I think there's a misunderstanding of that by many people. They do not understand how someone can feel that they're in a black hole out of which they cannot emerge. But if you're ever one who has suffered from that, you'll know what that's like. And one of the worst things that someone can say to you is, "Oh, come on, pull yourself together." The problem is that a person who is suffering in that way can't pull themselves together. That's the problem. It's not as simple as that. But there is in the scripture here the fixing of anxious care. I'm thinking about another little song. I think it's from the Caribbean, and it is "Don't Worry, Be Happy." You know that one? "Don't Worry, Be Happy." That's all very well to sing and to say, but it won't help, really. Because what folks need, Christians need it. Certainly the unsaved need a change of mindset. But if we're thinking here about God's people, if we're filled with anxious care and worry, what we need is the Lord to write his word on our hearts and to enable us to trust him. We were singing those beautiful words of that hymn. God will take care of you. One of the verses is, all you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Trust him and you will be satisfied. God will take care of you. Trust him. And oh, how we need the Lord's help that we might trust him. We can only trust him as we're leaning on his promises. The psalmist talked about, thou through thy precepts hast quickened me. It is as we fill our hearts and minds with the word of God that we're enabled to trust him. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can anxious care, worry be fixed? Well, there are two things here I want to mention. In order to avoid anxious care, priorities must be rearranged. The Lord says in verse 33, but, and this is the alternative, you see. He says, take no thought, take no anxious care about these matters, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Priorities. Putting the right things first. Seek ye not second or third or last, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the things of his kingdom. And again, we're back to verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Things happen to stuff that we have on the earth. They can be destroyed. A moth is something that will work on clothing. There's the raiment. And rust is that which can work upon things that we own that are made of metal. And then there's other things, including those. And thieves can break through and steal them away. So we can lose these things, whether it be by some natural process like rusting, or by some creatures eating them, or by somebody breaking in and taking those things away from us. We can lose all of that. Don't be laying up for yourselves treasures on the earth, he says, where these things can happen to them. But, verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. There won't be any thieves in heaven. There'll be converted thieves. There'll be those who were thieves who've been converted, who've been saved by the grace of God, and they will be in heaven by God's grace. But there's going to be no thievery in glory. What the Lord is talking about here is priorities. The things of earth being superseded by the things that have to do with heaven. What are your thoughts today? Where are your priorities? What comes first in your thinking? Of course we have to live on this earth. This is clear. Of course we have to eat and drink and put clothing on. Of course we have to go to our work. Of course we have responsibilities and duties that pertain to this life. The Lord is not denying any of that. But what he's asking is, what comes first in your thinking? Or what he's exhorting is to put God and his kingdom and the affairs of his kingdom first in your thinking. Tell me today, do you place the eternal above the temporal? Is that where your thoughts are today? On the heavenly rather than the earthly? What is it that comes first in order of importance? We're reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, he writes, if ye then be risen with Christ, and the word if there has the sense of since it is true. He's not questioning whether they're risen with Christ or not. He's saying, since you are. Since ye then be risen with Christ, seek, that's the word that Jesus used. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What's that? That's heaven. That's where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Thank God for that thought. The Savior is on the right hand of the Majesty on high. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He cares for us. He prays for us. He's concerned with everything that concerns us. And then he says this, set your affection. And the word there could be translated mind. It's a mindset that he's referring to. Set your affection or your thinking or your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Is that what you are doing today? Are you heavenly minded at all? Let alone being greatly heavenly minded or mostly heavenly minded. Do you even have your thoughts on the things that are above at all? Because you see, men and women and young people, the welfare of your soul and mine is what is most important. It is all important. It is vital. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 31 says this, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Everything that you know about this life is perishing. We're going to leave it all behind someday. In fact, as one of my elders years ago used to say in the Mount Marion Church, dear brother who's now with the Lord, Willie Ferguson, he said, people talk about leaving things behind when they die. He says they don't. He says they're taken away from them. And that's true in many cases. Because people are not willing to leave things. They're reluctant to leave the things of this world behind. But friends, someday you'll be taken away from it. Naked you come into the world, naked you will return thither. You're taking nothing out of this world but that never dying soul that lives in your body. And where will you be in eternity? The fixing of anxious care, in order to avoid it, priorities must be rearranged. But also, providence must be regarded. Providence. You know, that which God does. Do you know that God is at work in this world? You'd think to hear and see some people that God has nothing to do with what's happening on the earth. It's all about what this person or that person is deciding to do. Some people are worried about the WHO and the FBI and whatever other initials they're worried about. The CDC. In Britain, it's the TUC, the Trade Union Congress. Listen, folks, providence must be regarded. And that's what the Lord said. It doesn't matter what I think about this. In verse 30, the Lord said, wherefore, and that's another form of therefore, because of what I've just said about the lilies of the field, they are arrayed in greater glory than Solomon ever was. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, and he's referring there to the flowers, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, referring there to the wheat and to the barley and various other things that grow, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? How will the Lord clothe you? How will the Lord look after you? In providence. Because God does provide for those who trust in him. All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Something for you to consider today as a believer is that he sees our need. Verse 32, the words in parenthesis, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Those are the people he's referring to at that time who were not believers, outside of the pale of the kingdom of God. They're all concerned about the things of this life. That's what they're all caught up with. It's all about eating and drinking and what they're going to wear, how they're going to live. Nothing to do with the soul, nothing to do with eternity. After all those things did the Gentiles seek. But then he says this, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Let me ask you here at this point, is God your heavenly Father? Oh, I thought God was the Father of all men. No. No, he is not. He's the creator of all men. But he's not the spiritual father of all men. Jesus said to some in John 8, verse 44, ye are of your father the devil. The lusts of your father ye will do. If you read 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10, there's a distinction between the children of the devil and the children of God. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. It's the believer who can say, my heavenly Father watches over me. He sees our need. He knows. Isn't it great that when we have the thought on our minds that nobody else knows? Years ago, there was a man called Paul Robeson. He was a beautiful singer. Sometimes he would sing spirituals. And one of them was, nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows but Jesus. And that's true. When no one else understands, when nobody else knows, Jesus understands and Jesus knows. When nobody else cares, Jesus cares. As the hymn writer put it, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Why worry? Because God knows. He sees our need. Providence must be regarded. But not only is it true that he sees our need, he supplies our need. Consider verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Why don't you trust him? Why don't you believe him and his promises? Has he ever forsaken you before? Has the Lord ever let you down in the past? Has there ever been a time in your Christian life that the Lord has not met your need? Oh, you know. You know that he is able to clothe you. And it's your little faith that causes you not to believe it. He supplies our need. Verse 33, again, emphasizes that. The exhortation is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek the things of his kingdom. Seek the things of his righteousness first. And ultimately his righteousness is Christ. For Christ is our righteousness. Seek after him. And all these things. What things? What you will eat. What you will drink. What you will be clothed with. All of those things he will supply. Basically, this is all boiled down to this. Put the Lord first in your life and see how he supplies your every need. We could say a word here about our giving to the work of God. The Lord will prove himself faithful when we are faithful to him. You can never outgive God. A fellow told me one time, I can't afford to tithe. I said, I can't afford not to tithe. I can't afford not to. Because I don't want to rob God. Those that rob God do not prosper. No, the Lord is able to meet every need. And you can never outgive the Lord. Try it. In fact, the Lord himself says that you're to do this in Malachi chapter 3. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Put me to the test and see if it's not true. Psalm 37, verse 25, says this. I have been young, and now I'm old. And even I can say that now, because I'm able to go to the store at certain hours that other people can't. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet, look at it. Have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread? He said, I was once young and now I'm an old man, and yet the Lord has always met the need.
is faithful.
So when Christians are full of anxious care, when they're full of worry, why is it? It's because they have their eyes on the wrong things and their attention in the wrong direction. Just go back for a moment to that portion we referred to in Mark 16. When those ladies came to the tomb, and there they were, you can just imagine it in your mind's eye, and they're talking, the three of them together, who's going to roll this stone away from the door of the sepulchre? I can't do it. Even the three of us together, we're not going to be able to do it. How are we going to do it? It says in verse 4, and when they looked. See, the problem was, when they were talking about the potential problem, they weren't looking in that direction. They were talking to each other. They were preoccupied with the problem, thinking about what was going to happen and what wasn't going to happen. And when they got there, when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away. The problem had already been taken care of by the Lord. When they looked. See, men and women, we need to look in the right direction. And this morning, we need to take the upward look. We need to look away from circumstances, situations that we find ourselves in over which we have no control, and look away to one who sits upon the throne, one who is able to fix every problem. As I was contemplating this message, I got to thinking about a song that we used to sing when I was a teenager. We haven't sung it for years. It's not in any of our hymnals. But it just crystallized the message for me. Here's what it says. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to grey. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining. There no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty. But the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that is my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Is that your hope today? May the Lord fix the problem of worry in all of our lives for his glory. And if you're one this morning and you do not know the Lord, let me commend him to you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You come to Christ, you will find, as we have found, that he is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. May God bless his word to all of our hearts.